Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. If you're listening in North Florida, Madison, South Georgia, we welcome you today. And if you're listening by the World Wide Web, by computer, anywhere in the United States, anywhere in the world, we welcome you today. If you have downloaded this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus from our website, we welcome you today. And if you would like to come to our website, type in THCOG. That will take you to the Holy Church of God right here in Tampa, Florida, where I have been the senior pastor working on our 41st year. Amen. And we would enjoy having you to come and browse our website. There are many helps, information, and inspiration to be had. All of it is free. There are no strings attached. And we would just love to have you come. And if you want to leave a message there on by email, there's a place you can do that. And we would welcome your comments. If you have a testimony, we pray you'll give it so we can share it. Hallelujah. Amen. We're so grateful to be part of the broadcast family here, and other ministers that minister here, along with the format of music and classic country, classic gospel, and I, as far as I'm concerned, classic preaching, because we're still preaching and teaching from the book, God's book, the Bible, the Word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, the Scriptures declare, but His Word will abide forever, and those that do His will and come to Christ as their Savior are just as eternal as the Word of God itself. Amen. So we're excited about this new subject that we are entering into today. We're going to be talking about Jesus, our daysman redeemer. Jesus, our daysman redeemer. Maybe we will get a better understanding, or a little deeper understanding, of what Jesus has done in our behalf in order to redeem us today. And maybe it will cause in your heart and mind, amen, a first love to be kindled, if it's not there, to be rekindled, if we've ever known it. Amen. And that God would have a people that serve Him from the heart with great zeal and enthusiasm, energy and devotion in these last of the last days in which we are living. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Job, chapter 9, verses 28 through 33. That's where this ancient word occurs that is rendered daysman, a go-between, someone who stands between two people who need reconciliation, and someone that can actually expedite, amen, that reconciliation between the two. Jesus has been sent to accomplish that, because God wanted to achieve that. He wanted to be reconciled to us and reconcile us as fallen men and women unto Himself. And let's listen to what a daysman really is from the Old Covenant and move forward from that point to the New Covenant and see how Jesus has achieved and accomplished this great need in our behalf. Praise God. The desperate necessity of a daysman Savior is found in Job chapter 9. This is what Job said. He said, "I am afraid," in verse 28, "of all my sorrows. I know that Thou wilt not hold me innocent. If I be wicked, why then labor I in vain? If I wash myself with snow and water, and make my hands never so clean, yet Thou shalt plunge me in the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me. For he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us, that might lay his hand upon us both." You can see emerging in Scripture the need for a holy God and a fallen man to be reconciled to one another. And Job's dilemma was, at that time under the old covenant, there's no daysman that can put his hand on God's shoulder, this Holy One, and his hand on my shoulder. He said, I can try to do that myself. I can wash myself with pure snow, pure rain water, but I can't make myself worthy of the presence of this Holy One. Ah, oh, he cried out, oh, that there were a daysman, a go-between, someone, an advocate, as we would call it in the New Testament in just a few moments, between us and the Father, that could put his hand upon us both for the purpose of reconciliation. This is an important, vital principle in our salvation, because God is too holy not to judge sin. But he has loved us so much that he wanted to make a way so that we could be reconciled unto him, so that he could be just and a justifier, as the scriptures declare, of those who put their trust in Jesus Christ. And that cry for a daysman has been answered when God sent Jesus to take our place at the cross and become the go-between, the intercessor and the advocate, praise God, amen, that he could put his hand upon God's shoulder spiritually and put his hand upon our soldier and bring us into a place of reconciliation. Praise God. This is this daysman redeemer that we are going to talk about in this Bible study. If you have your Bibles, I want to read first, though, from the NIV of this very text. If only there was someone to arbitrate between us, to lay his hand upon us both. One paraphrase says, if only there were a mediator who could bring us together. Ah, but Job said, there is none. Job doesn't understand the reasons for his trials. He knows he's always endeavored to do righteously, but he cannot defend himself by proclaiming his own righteousness. No matter how good or pious he was, he cannot stand before a holy God and say, I have no sin. Though he wash himself with pure snow and pure rain water, he can't make himself clean enough to stand in God's presence. He cries for that is the cry of fallen men and women everywhere. We need someone that is able to stand before God and between God and us as a daysman, as a mediator. I want to read from this translation, Romans chapter 3 and verse 9. It's out of a paraphrase. Listen to this. The heading here says, we're all in the same sinking boat. Every one of us. You see, the Bible said we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. So the scripture said, amen, in verse 9 of Romans 3 in the paraphrase. And I'm just saying that so you'll get this clear today in practical, personal terms. So where does that put us? Do we Jews get a better break than the others? Not really. Basically, all of us, whether insiders or outsiders, start out in identical conditions, which is to say that we all start out as sinners. Scripture leaves no doubt about it. There's no one living right, not even one. The King James says it this way, there is none righteous, no, not one, in Romans 3 and verse 10. No, not one. Why did it say no, not one? Because there's some folks that think they are the one. And there's some folks think that they know somebody so well that they can declare them as that one perfectly righteous person. And I want you to know very clearly today, if Jesus hadn't paid the price for our sin at the cross, no one could stand before a holy God and meet his holy, righteous requirements. Without a go-between, we're all in the same sinking boat. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 25 said, "If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him?" I want to read that again. If a man sin against another man, we could end up in a court and a judge will judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Or as one rendering says, who shall intercede for him? The great cry of the Old Testament was for a daysman, an arbitrator, an intercessor, a mediator. A holy God cannot accept and commute our sin, and He can't commune with anyone that is not holy. There is enmity between us, but a loving God wants to destroy that enmity that our sins have created, so He sends a daysman to the earth, a Savior who will destroy the enmity and bridge the great gulf that sin has created between God and man. And God takes the initiative. He can't look over sin. He has to judge it. That's why He sent Jesus to be our advocate, to be the go-between. In Job 9, 32 and 33, the patriarch touches a grand and profound truth that man, the covenant breaker, inevitably needs an arbitrator who can reach both God and man and who will see to it that both parties are brought together. Praise God. Jesus, my friend, is our daysman. Jesus is our arbitrator. Jesus is our advocate. According to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Jesus Christ the righteous. One translation in the New International says, "one who speaks to the Father in our defense." In the Greek, an advocate means one who pleads another's cause before a judge, an intercessor. You see the daysman, ministry of Jesus beginning to develop so clearly in the New Testament. In the context of Christ, in His exaltation at God's right hand, pleading with God the Father for the pardon of our sins. Christ died on the cross to settle our account. He took our place. He took our punishment. He bore the pain and shame of our sins that He might be the daysman, the go-between. He put His hand upon God's shoulder because His blood was sinless. Then He put His hand upon our shoulder, those who would put their trust in Him and receive Him as our Savior. The mighty gulf at that moment is spanned, the enmity destroyed, the enemy defeated, God and man is reconciled to one another. Jesus, indeed, is our daysman Savior. His broken body for us, His blood poured out for us, qualified Him to plead our cause before God. Now, I like the way Paul states it so beautifully in Romans chapter 8, verse 33 and verse 34. He said, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth." There's that forensic term, that legal terminology. "Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." I like the paraphrase. It said, "Who dares accuse us, whom God has chosen for His own? Will God? No. He's the one who has given us right standing with Himself. Who then shall condemn us? Will Christ Jesus? No. For He is the one who died for us and raised to life for us and is sitting at the place of highest honor next to God, pleading for us." Now, that doesn't mean we don't have an accuser. Amen. In fact, we have more than one accuser. The first and great accuser we have is Satan himself. The Bible calls him the devil, diabolos, the maligner. And the Bible speaks of him in Revelation chapter 12 as the accuser of the brethren. And there's only one way to defeat him, and it's not living perfectly sinless. That doesn't mean that we are sinful, but we are certainly not sinless. We need a daysman. We must have a go-between. We must have one who stands before God in our behalf. And that one, that daysman, is Jesus Christ. And the Bible said now, in book of Revelation chapter 12, it says, "Now is the accuser of our brethren cast down, that accused them before God day and night, and they overcame him through the blood of Jesus Christ and through the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life even unto the death." Amen. We cannot overcome the enemy as our accuser by declaring our perfect righteousness before God, but we can overcome him as our accuser when we declare that we have been made perfectly righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Amen. That is the word of our testimony. The scripture said, "Hold fast the profession of your faith," or confession of your faith, "without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." One time, Attorney General of the United States, John Ashcroft, said in an interview that Islam is a religion in which God requires you to send your son to die for him. Christianity is a faith in which God sent his son to die for you. What a stark contrast. This separates Christianity from really all other world religions. God reaches down to humans rather than humans trying to work their way to God. God takes the initiative, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. I love that song that said, "I was lost and undone without God nor his Son when he reached way down for me." Doesn't matter where you are today, how sinful you are, what depth of depravity you have slid into and sunk into, if you call upon Jesus, God will reach way down to take a hold of you and lift you out of Satan's prison house and out of the guilt and out of the shame that you could never extract yourself from. The high priest of the old covenant were a foreshadow of our great high priest and intercessor, Jesus Christ. There was a distinct danger that the priest of the old covenant could be disqualified as a go-between and be destroyed. He didn't continue indefinitely. A new priest had to be in preparation. All Israel held their breath when he went behind the veil. That's why that we celebrate our daysman Savior, our high priest, because he is perfect and he lives forever. Speaking of his priesthood, in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24 through 26, listen. It says, "But this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." Praise God. Amen. I like Hebrews 7 in the New International. It says, "But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood Therefore, He's able to save completely those to come to God through Him because He always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest meets our need. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Praise God. No one could fulfill that perfect demand of God and that great need of fallen men and women but Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, taking our place at the cross, enduring our punishment, that He might reconcile us to God. Oh, what a great daysman, Savior, and Redeemer that we have. What an advocate with the Father. Hallelujah. Praise God. Christ not only had to die to redeem us, to shed His blood for our ransom, He must live again to be our daysman, our high priest who presents to God the sacrifice. What a glorious gospel this is. Jesus is our sacrifice lamb, who is also our high priest, who ever lives to intercede in our behalf. We are reconciled by His death and saved by His life. Listen to this. Romans chapter 5, verse 9 through 11. It says, "Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Hallelujah. Joy in God. Isn't that an amazing thing? One loose paraphrase, but good paraphrase of this scripture says, now that we have been actually received this amazing friendship with God, we are no longer content to say it in plodding prose. So we sing and shout praises to God through Jesus Christ the Messiah. Amen. You know, there's a scripture in the Old Testament, and it said, "Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound." Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. And I believe in every church service where true Christians gather to worship and praise God. I mean, I don't know what type of music and what kind of instrumentation is going to attend that, but I do know one thing, amen, that God is listening for. He's listening for someone, amen, to sing joyfully about this great Savior and to sing to Him and about Him with joy in our hearts. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." See, friend, if you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you are well represented in God's courtroom. We have a great high priest. We have a sacrificed lamb. We have a blood atonement. We have an advocate with the Father. We have a Redeemer who ransomed us, who paid in full our sin debt. While there is a humbling, solemn, and sobering aspect to the fact that He died upon the cross, and we remember the horrors of His crucifixion, there is also a victorious declaration that we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He has defeated death for every one of us. He's alive, and He ever lives to make intercession, and we are saved. We sing and shout to our daysman deliverer. We celebrate our new reconciled relationship with God. You may be saying to me today, "Preacher, you don't know what I've done. You don't know how deep in sin I have become steeped. You don't understand. How could God ever forgive me and be reconciled unto me. Well, I'm going to tell you something up front. He wants to be reconciled to you. And He wants that so bad that He provided a daysman. He provided a go-between. He provided one who would die on the cross in your place so that He could put His hand on God's shoulder and put His hand on your shoulder, that the two, a holy God and a fallen man or woman, could be reconciled to one another. Sins forgiven. That enmity between us and God absolutely removed and destroyed. That great cry for a daysman in the Old Testament was answered when God sent Jesus Christ to this earth. He came here, make no mistake about it, not to just lay in a manger and evoke sentimental feelings. He came to go to the cross. He came to hang upon that cross. He came to pay the sin debt that every one of us on this fallen planet, this fallen earth, this fallen flesh owes unto God. And He paid it in full for you and for me. Friend, today can be the day that you receive Christ as Savior. And the moment you do, you receive a daysman. He becomes the go-between, and you have an advocate with the Father. And you have an intercessor that ever lives to make intercession for you. Praise God. Amen. To declare in the presence of a holy God that He has paid your sin debt so that you can be free of it. And the enmity between you and God can and will be broken. Praise God for Jesus Christ, our daysman redeemer. Don't let the enemy tell you that you're not good enough, that you're not worthy. He's telling you the truth. No one is good enough. No one is worthy of the blood of Jesus. But we are made worthy through the blood of Jesus Christ. And I challenge you right now, right where you are, to defeat the evil one. They did it by applying the blood, by accepting Christ. When you receive Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, you literally apply spiritually what His blood has accomplished at the cross to your life, to your heart, your soul. And today, I urge you, don't put that off. Don't let the enemy deceive you and defraud you of what God has paid such a price to grant you and to give you. Make no mistake about it, friend, God loves you. And the Bible said that He commendeth His love to us. And while that we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Don't let that death be in vain in your behalf. Receive Him today. Accept Him today. Invite Him in today. Repent of your sin. Let God deal with it and wash it away. And if you're a Christian today, you have a daysman redeemer. You have a go-between. You have been reconciled unto God. And He wants you to now begin to joy in that reconciled relationship. Not to live under pressure. Not to live with this sense of constant guilt. But to live in the glory of sins forgiven. Get up Sunday morning. Get out. Go to church. Get in a congregation where the Word of God is preached from the Bible and people praise Him from their heart, and join that great chorus. All right, friend, our time is up. Would you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus. Hallelujah, the worthy one, the mighty one.